This is Jim from the Northeast Podcast. We're going to be doing a screencast in a minute, but I want to talk about our friends, good friends of the pod, Melting Hearts USA. Check out meltingheartsusa.com for some awesome, awesome aviator sunglasses. I got the Extapas recently. I've been wearing them while driving because the snow is so bright. You got to wear the shades in the winter, man. And they're really slick. They're super high quality, and they're inexpensive. It's not like you have to pay designer prices. All sunglasses are overpriced, really, except for these ones. So get them local while you can. I mean, you got to support local, and these are very, very nice ones. So meltingheartsusa.com, check them out, grab a pair. Very, very nice, looking good. Let's go.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with just Jim.
Just me.
Again.
I know. What the hell?
Just the two Barter. Of us. Just the two of us rolling solo. It's not really solo, but...
It's duo.
Duo. Yeah. Rolling together.
Rolling duo.
Yeah, so... yeah, no Barter again. Dude is sick as a dog. He's been gone all week.
Get your flu shot, people.
If he pops up on some other random local podcast, though, you guys need to let us know.
Yeah, right. He did a spinoff. He started his own. Yeah. This is Ryan, formerly of the Northeast Podcast.
Now it's just the Nerdiest.
This is the Southeast.
Yeah. All right, so we're here. We're having a great time without Ryan, with or without him. Yeah. And we have some great beers that he definitely would love to try. What are we drinking this time?
So we're going to Bank, and we've had these guys before. This is in, it's a ways out. Let me see where this place is at. It's in Henricks, Minnesota. But they do lots of weird beers, and this one is no exception. It's a sour bomb, and it's a tart wheat ale with watermelon. And this thing smells like a... What kind of candy does this smell like? Come on.
All candy? I don't know.
It smells like watermelon candy. I don't know.
Like a watermelon...
Fruit roll-up or something?
No, what are those things? Jolly Rancher.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
So that's what it actually tastes like a little bit, too. But it's actually a pretty nice beer besides just, like, the ridiculous smell and taste of watermelon. It's actually really nice to drink. It's a little flat for my taste. I like a little bit more carbonation, but really good.
I have to be honest with you. I was excited to try it. I think that the branding is really cool. They just started to bottle these. They came in a really cool little four-pack. And for some reason, on the first sip, I thought I didn't like it, and I wanted to not like it. Mm. And every sip has gotten better.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, it's
actually
really good.
We were just drinking a really different beer, too. Because yeah. We were just drinking like a straight-up barrel-aged oak sour. I mean, that's a strange beer.
It's so out there. It's so wild.
You got some weird shit this week.
I know.
I like it, man. I know. Like you're branching out.
It's a weird time of year for beer.
It kind of is. You know, it's a tough time. There's a lot of... dark beers, which is not always my favorite. I guess that this is supposed to be the time to drink dark beers. I just always want everything to be like fresh hop or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my taste.
If you like to try some crazy beers, give this one a shot.
Yeah.
It's totally out there. They really went for it. And I love when breweries do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love when they take chances. We don't get cool beers without people trying to be innovative and try new things. And this is a great example of that. So go give it a shot. It's a lot of fun. It's a really exciting, very sour. And I mean, it tastes like a Jolly Rancher. And I mean that as a compliment. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, Sour Bomb from Bank Brewing. Check them out.
Also, check us out on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you need to make sure you get our podcast.
Stitcher, Overcast.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. So, I don't like Facebook. I don't like using it. But we're kind of like, I'm not going to say blowing up on there, but it started to become like a predominant thing for us with our videos on there. So, if you just listen on our straight up podcast, check out our Facebook page. Give it a like. Give it a share. Our videos, I don't know, people seem to like it, like watching as well as listening, even though we're just literally sitting here talking.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, watch us talking, but it's all good.
Well, I mean, we're really handsome.
Yeah.
That's a big,
so handsome.
That's a big piece of it.
We've engineered the lighting in here to be perfect.
They're so. Like, their voices sound terrible, but they are easy on the eyes.
They should really just be like print models and not ever speak a word again.
All right, guys. So today is a screencast. And it's been a little while. Sorry we're coming to you guys so late in the week. But there's not a ton of news with the screen time.
Right.
So we're going to have some fun conversations today. We're going to have to dive into some things, give you a few hot recs. But also, we're going to have a little discussion on the best action movies.
It always gets controversial when we do these lists, which is fun. We get people being like, I can't believe you didn't mention this, like, you idiots.
Hey, so we vetted this list a little bit, so it won't turn out like the scary movie list that we did.
We did like the top 100, and there was shit for everything in the top 50 was from 1930.
Yeah.
Like, no, we haven't seen that movie.
It was like the only episode I got like lots of complaints about. Yeah. So. All right, guys, so first we're going to start with our coming soon section, and that starts with Han Solo and the Han Solo movie. Mm-hmm. My question to you, Jimmy Channels, is... should we be concerned that it is not going to be any good?
I think we should, actually.
And why is that?
So it's had the most complicated, controversial, messed up production yet. And we've already had a movie where we've switched directors midway through for the Star Wars, right? But this is like, dude, the movie's in May and we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen a trailer, obviously. We haven't even seen a poster. A poster came out and Disney said that wasn't ours. Which is probably good because it looked like a straight to DVD movie. So this is a little concerning, and Alden Ehrenreich. Okay. So I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that yet because he's not a star yet, but he is our star of the movie as young Han Solo. They had to hire an acting coach. That seems weird, right?
Yeah.
So the original directors were, Phil Lord and something Miller, Lord and Miller, anyway, is what they go by. And they're like the team behind like the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street. Everything they've touched has been absolute pure gold. And they got fired from this movie. And then they brought in the most exciting director of all time, Ron Howard.
Oh.
Yeah, to finish it. Like, so it just seems like this one, and we've heard news too, that like Disney may be prepping for a bit of a dud here.
All right, so how far down the list of people that they called was Ron Howard?
They might have called JJ. He's probably already busy. I think he's just like a very steady hand behind the camera. He might have been their first call. I mean, it's not an exciting pick, but they might have called him and be like, dude, please come save this movie. Make it boring if you have to. It just has to be. It can't sink future movies.
I mean, this is how I feel about Ron Howard. If I see that there's a trailer, if it's a Ron Howard movie, I usually instantly, before I even know it's his movie, I'm like, well, this looks boring. Yeah. And then they're like, by Ron Howard.
And they're never like visionary director Ron Howard. They're like really capable director Ron Howard.
They're like, he did a movie that people liked quite a while back, like in the 90s or something.
I mean, you know, I always want to do deep dives, IMDb dives on directors, and I'm sure he would surprise us with some amazing movies he's made. I get that, you know, Apollo 13 and onward.
That's what I was thinking, Apollo 13.
No, but I mean, he's made other big movies since then. I get that.
Can you name one?
No, not off the top. I mean, he's made a lot, though. Like, they'd be huge movies if we looked at him. But he's just, like, not a very exciting guy. So, yeah, I mean, I'm concerned about the movie. I feel like this machine has made three very good Star Wars movies so far. And are they really going to drop the ball on one of them? I don't know.
I don't think it will be bad. I think it will be entertaining. It will... people will like it. It will probably be better than any DC movie.
Okay.
Just because there's just...
tough.
No, it's not tough.
Wait, better than any DC movie? You just mean better than most DC, because Wonder Woman was legit, right?
Okay, not better than Wonder Woman.
So we always have to have the asterisk but that better they got lucky with that one.
Better than any other DC movie.
Yeah.
And I think it will be better just because Disney has so much money and this is so important to them that they probably have spent way more than they're planning to make sure it was just even decent.
Oh, I mean, there's been rewrites, reshoots, everything. So they've definitely gone over budget, what they had planned.
But they don't care at this point. They just can't. They can't have strikeouts. That's the only thing they can't have. I mean, they can hit singles with every movie for a while, as long as they are able to hit home runs with a couple of the big cornerstones.
Yeah, it's a pretty good analogy. I think it will probably be okay. I just think that this is the year for Marvel movies already, which, of course, all goes back into the same Disney piggy bank, which is starting to get annoying at this point, but I get that. They're just a little bit more focused on having a huge year with Marvel.
I want to be in, like, the court that does, like, monopolies. I know, like, how I'm talking about this, like, every person who listens who's, like, really smart with how that kind of stuff works.
We have no idea.
It's probably shaking their head. I literally have no clue.
Yeah.
But I want to know when they're like, Monopoly is not really legal. We don't really want that to happen. Oh, should we allow them to buy Fox? Yeah, go for it. Just let them have all superheroes and Star Wars. Yeah. Just let them pretty much own movies for any person who is not trying to see an indie pick.
Right.
So,
yeah. It's strange. It's weird.
I just can't wait until
it's them and Comcast Universal at this point. That's about it. It's our options. You're supporting one or the other.
I can't wait until they get bored and they just mix Star Wars and Marvel.
Oh, it probably will. There'll be a crossover at some point. Once the audience has finally gotten sick of it, they'll just have to get desperate.
All right, so next up is the year of Marvel, like you were saying. And coming up very soon in February here, we have Black Panther. What are your expectations?
High. Very high. I think that it's going to... Should I just go right into Rotten Tomatoes score?
Yeah.
All right. So for the record, write this down, people. I'm going to go with a 92 Rotten Tomatoes score.
I was going to say 87.
Is about as high as it gets for an action movie.
I think this movie is important to them. I think
it's
going to
be very big. Yes, I think it is too. I think it's cool that it's going to be some diversity. I mean, it's like a ton of black actors... Ryan Coogler directing. I think it's going to be important to them that this works.
I think it's critical to them. I think it's more than important. I think they have to nail this. Every superhero they have is either not human or blue.
Yeah.
And it's just a white person.
Or white.
In blue. Or they're white.
Yeah.
And I think that they have the white audience locked up.
Yeah.
And now they have to start expanding that. And as they expand their universe... They have to be diverse here on Earth.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that a lot of these characters look and sound and dress in a way that is foreign to what we would expect here in the United States. And so I think this movie is so important to them. I think they took no risks and made sure that they spent every dime that they had to make sure that this movie ends up as one of the best Marvel movies, and that's my expectation. Very, very, very high.
Chadwick Boseman. I mean, it's got Michael B. Jordan right there. Those two are going to be sort of the nemesis. Dude, the cast goes on and on from, like, it's just some great talent in there. I just think it's really going to be strong. All the trailers have looked great, and I think, you know, Marvel does a good job of, like, not really giving you giant set pieces. In they'll show you, like, you know, amazing-looking scenery. They'll show you some cool, like, you know, faces of famous people, like, looking distressed. But they don't give away a lot of their movies in their trailers. So I think this movie's going to have a lot in store.
Which Marvel character that's already pretty, you know, set in the universe is most likely to be in this movie?
That's a great question. I wonder if we get some kind of tease of where Captain America is, because he's missing, right?
Yeah.
So... I wonder if he'll, like, maybe be hiding out in Wakanda. Wakanda's already sort of a secret city.
Yeah.
Maybe he's there, but, like, can't really help out because he cannot be, you know, outed where he is. That would be my guess. I don't think they need that. I don't think they need any of them. I think it should be Black Panther front and center. We really don't know much about him. He's very mysterious. He's cool as hell.
Yeah.
We're going to learn about his city, his people, and his responsibilities.
I don't think that we need anyone, so I don't think they'll be a focal point
of the movie. No, not at all.
But I think that at this point, with Marvel and how big their universe is and how amazing their movies are and how much they spend and how much we as viewers spend to go see these movies. I think the expectations are for those surprises and those interactions between characters. So I fully expect at some point in the movie, you see a character like Captain America, someone important to the story, because also, more importantly than this just being an important movie for them, introducing a new character, you know, really diversifying for the first time, you know, their universe with on Earth. I think also it's the last movie before we get to the Infinity War.
Right.
And so it's
we're not talking about post credits, right? Because post credits could have anybody. It's freewheeling. They're not necessarily shot even in the same location, right? They'll be like, let's just do a quick post credit scene here in LA where we have our actors. So that could be anybody. And those post credits are going to be huge, because they're going to lead right into the first final Avengers movie.
I think there's a pretty high probability that something happens before the post-credit scenes that is very important to the Infinity War movie. Like I think it's just like this is it. This is their last chance to tell a story. This is their last chance to set up what exactly is, you know, at stake here.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be one of the movies of the year.
I can't wait, man.
So pumped. I'm psyched about it. When are you going to see it?
For me, this is a theater, but I didn't get it. The pre-sale went crazy fast, actually. Yeah. Like faster than the latest Star Wars movie, actually.
I'm going to go opening weekend, opening
for
night.
Me. Yep. That's for me too.
Opening weekend. I'll go with you. It'll be a blast.
All right, let's go. I'm really excited. The only way I wouldn't go is if we're totally wrong. And we hear like, you know, first impressions are like, wow, they went for something. It didn't work. Then I maybe would wait. I don't see that happening. Like I said, my prediction stands at 92%.
Last thing in our coming soon section, a new show, The End of the Fucking World.
End of the Fucking World.
Where is it? Where can we watch it? It's on Netflix. Is it worth our time?
It is. And it's not much of your time. So it's a British show. It was made for Netflix, but aired first in England on whatever Channel 4 is. Eric, you pretend to be British. What is that? So it's like some kind of like, you know, prestige network there. They, you know, bigger than BBC, I guess, at least for some of their stuff. So the show is based off a graphic novel, and it's sort of like Juno meets like Kick-Ass, I guess, because it's violent. There's a lot of swearing.
Okay.
It's a hard R rating.
It's like sassy though.
But it's very British. All the teeth are bad.
Okay.
But the kids are cute. You know, they're kind of like, they're like high school age, 17, 18 year olds that sort of go on this adventure of like rebellion. Okay. And they get into some trouble, man. They get deep. And it's 10, 20 minute episodes.
Okay.
So you can knock it out. It's surprising. It's funny. It's dark. It is sort of charming. It's Juno, but better. Do you remember Juno?
I remember it well, yeah.
It was a big cultural thing.
Yeah.
So they pretty much like recast Michael Cera as this like British kid who's really good. Both the main actors are phenomenal.
If it was Michael Cera, I'd be really excited.
Okay. Well, it's British Michael Cera.
Not enough Michael Cera.
I know. Where did he go?
What happened, Hollywood?
Like, how did all those guys, like Rogan.
Yeah.
Seth Rogan blows up.
Yeah.
We got Jonah Hill starring in like prestige dramas by like Soderbergh now. Like he's just huge.
Yeah.
Michael Cera, their buddy, they left behind.
Michael Cera only has one character, but it's a character I really like.
He like is the point where he's like playing a parody of himself in their movies.
Yeah. No.
Like in End of the World. Well, speaking of. Yeah. This is the end of the fucking world, but I'm talking about End of the World now.
I think it was called This is the End.
This is the End?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would love it if he was like on the new Office. Like, I think we need to start swinging for the fences with Michael Cera and just be like, dude, we like that character.
You're the new Jim.
Yeah, let's just have him around.
I like it. I could use more Michael Cera. I agree.
Yeah.
I never got tired of him.
No,
he just went away too quickly.
Yeah, and I liked when he played himself doing like cocaine and dying. It was hilarious. So.
Dude, so funny. Yeah, so look, The End of the Fucking World, go watch it. You will be very surprised. It's like a little direction, like Wes Anderson almost, with like little cutscenes and kind of the characters, like the main character, the kid, like is pretty sure he's a psychopath and just wants to kill the main girl the entire time. At least, maybe not the entire time, but that's how it starts. So,
okay.
Dude, definitely worth watching. Very different. That's a good little show.
All right.
People are raving about it.
I have to check it out.
Absolutely.
All right. Next up, the big picture today is a new little game, little segment we're going to play called Do We Care?
Yeah. So, it's a way to do news, and we'll see if we care about it.
Yeah. So, first up, you're going to have to tell us about these. I'm just going to give you the headline. You're going to go a little more in depth. We'll decide if we care.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, we'll chat about it. If we don't, we'll move the hell on.
Yeah.
So, first up, True Detective casting. What did we find out this week?
I think we care, right?
Well, what's the news?
So, we got Stephen Dorff. Remember Stephen Dorff? He's like a blonde guy. He's played a bad guy in most things. He was like the bad guy in Blade, at least maybe Blade 2. He was really good, and he seemed like he was going to be this big star for a while. Stephen Dorff.
Hmm.
Somebody listening knows who the hell he is.
He looks kind of familiar.
Okay, so he's in, I guess, the now True Detective tradition of bringing back washed-up stars like Vince Vaughn or, you know, who even Matthew McConaughey was sort of washed up when they started this thing. So they're trying it with Stephen Dorff. They're also bringing in, like, one of the guys that you really want to start a show with besides Mahershala Ali, which is, like, the number one guy, and that's Scoot McNairy. And he was in Halt and Catch Fire, which was, like, a really underrated AMC show. I watched the first season, got tired of it. He was great in it, though. And then that new Netflix show that your parents were so obsessed with, which one is that one, the Western?
I have literally no idea.
Well, he was great in that, too. So, like, he was in, you know, Fargo season 3, and opened up the first episode.
Is it Godless?
Yes, Godless. Thank you. So, like, he was great in that. I love this actor. He's phenomenal in everything. And I think they're rounding out this cast a little bit more interesting than season 2.
I like that they're not as big of names. Sometimes big names are distracting.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes when people are more than qualified for a role, but they're such a big star, it takes people out of that role. So a great example would be something we haven't talked about in a while. Fantastic Beasts. Sure. Johnny Depp playing a big role in that.
Yeah.
People are like, I can't even take it seriously since Johnny Depp is in it.
Well, the way they revealed him to be in it too was like the end of the movie was very distracting.
It was a little silly, but Johnny Depp in a Harry Potter movie, he's a huge star. He's one of the wealthiest stars in the whole entire world. I mean, he's made more money in the last 15 years making movies than almost anybody. And he's taking like a non-lead role in a Harry Potter movie as a guy who's revealed at the end of a movie. And then everyone's like, oh, it's such a terrible decision. I think that was what happened with True Detective season 2. It was like the stars were just a little too big. There are too many of people that were too recognizable for you to kind of lose yourself in a series.
Yeah, and Rachel McAdams, Taylor Kitsch, and Vince Vaughn all in it.
And the main guy, Colin Farrell.
Oh, right, yeah.
All
actually,
four
he
them.
Was really good, though.
He was. And I'm not saying that people didn't do a nice job, but it was just like you were watching a movie that just had so many celebrities in it, and you were watching it for 10 episodes. And
that's
so,
why some of these TV actors like Scoot McNairy will get lost in their role.
They
Mahershala Ali will get lost in their role.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think it's – I don't really know either of those guys too well, but I have faith in HBO. I think maybe taking a little time off and coming back with the same idea of what the show is supposed to be.
It is. Should I just run through what the basic plot is, too?
Please, please.
So it's set in the Ozarks, and it's like a devastating crime that happened over 3 time periods, way more in line with the first season.
Okay.
So you're back to like kind of like white trash town.
Yep.
You know, but the subculture is going to run deep, right? So like, there's some dark shit going on people don't talk about. You're going to get multiple time periods, multiple generations possibly, and it'll unfold in 3 time periods. I think it's cool. I think it's a good formula.
All I'm really hoping for is like
Jason Bateman to show up.
He's like, does anyone need any money laundered?
It's like, no, get the fuck out of here, Netflix. This is HBO.
I would say the thing that I'm really looking forward to in that is hopefully them portraying the South as scary, religious, culty, dirty, scary, racist.
As it truly is.
Like, that's what I like, though. I mean, they made True Detective season 1. They made the South so gritty, scary, and like there was this like kind of weird religious secret underbelly of these places that they were going to.
Oh, I think they can definitely do that with the Ozarks,
and
right?
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It was like the location they were at was the scariest part of the show to me.
Yeah, it was like the setting was a character and it was the scariest thing.
It was. And so I'm hoping that they bring that back. And I think that season two being like this, they tried to make it like a mob, you know, like an East Coast mob show in LA.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work
and
because
it was kinda
of glitzy,
but they still tried to make it grimy.
Yeah.
And they had like, you know, big scenes and like the sewers, I guess, wherever the hell of under LA. It just didn't work.
Didn't work. So season three, I have
I guess
hope.
We care about that one.
I care.
We're not going to spend this much on all of them, are we?
No, no. Okay. We dove in.
You let in with a good one.
We care. All right. Next one is standalone Batman movie. Could Jake Gyllenhaal be the next Batman?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I care, actually. Shit. But we'll just be quick with it. I guess, you know, the studio now, DC, Warner Brothers, is soured on Ben Affleck. Like, it's not working out. He's probably going to step down, even though he's under contract for this Matt Reeves standalone Batman movie. And Matt Reeves wants Jake Gyllenhaal.
This is so
disappointing.
Think
we care.
I don't care.
I don't care. And I don't think Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be good.
I love Batman.
But I didn't. I thought it was good with the Ben Affleck, and then I didn't like it that much. And
if I were DC right now, I would be either going for someone young. I'd say, hey, we're going to reset Batman. He's going to have a new costume. He's going to go back to kind of like a gray, maybe even blue, like 70s looking Batman costume. I'd try to reset.
Something different.
I'd try to be like, you know what? We messed up. We need to make it totally different. We need to go young and find someone in their like late 20s. Or I'd be giving a James Bond, like, who's Bond? What's his name?
Daniel Craig.
I'd be doing the Daniel Craig thing. I'd say, please come back to Christian Bale. And I would say, what will it take? Will it take $150 million over three movies? And I'd say, come back, because everyone loved you as Batman.
That's not a bad idea.
Those would be my two.
Can do that.
Those would be the two things I would do. But just rebooting with the same people, it's failed. They failed.
It's all failed.
It's been a failure. Wonder Woman needs to stay, and everything else needs to be deleted.
Yeah.
And Zack Snyder needs to be gone. He can't be part of it. Everything he makes looks horrible.
No, I think it actually looks pretty good. I think everything else is bad. I think he's a horrible writer.
I feel like it looks like they're fighting in like a in like a fake universe.
Yeah.
At all times. Like everything's like blurry and smoky and random colors.
Yeah.
And I just don't
see that too.
It doesn't seem realistic.
He's known to be like a visual director and the rest is bad. So if you don't like that, there's not much left for you, man.
There's nothing for me with them. So that's what I would do. I would start over. I'd either go young or I'd go back to Christian Bale, who obviously proved he was a great Batman.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, we're DC.
That was the director, though.
What?
That was Chris Nolan directing. I don't know.
Yeah, but
I don't think he was that special.
I always say this about Batman. You're not playing Batman. You're playing Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't buy you as Bruce Wayne, you're not going to be a good Batman.
Yeah.
You're just, in Batman, you're like, I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you're doing. You're just like talking in this like weird voice. And I think in this one, it was like a robot voice.
Yeah, it was bad. And dude, I can't wait to hear Jake Gyllenhaal's. It's just, come on, man. No one's going to care.
Brutal.
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't care. Shockingly, don't care. And
that
if
sucks.
I do care, it's in a negative way.
Yeah.
Get Jake Gyllenhaal the hell away from Batman. He's a Robin.
He's a Robin. He's a beta.
He wasn't he a Robin?
He's
wasn't
not
he?
An alpha.
He was Robin in that one movie, wasn't
no, he?
He
was never Robin.
Who was that? What's that guy's name?
It was like Chris O'Donnell or some
shit. No. Who was the guy in the Dark Knight Rises? Who was like the police officer?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Same guy.
Don't bring him in.
Same guy.
It is.
They're the same guy to me. They should be the two Robins.
Yeah,
I'd be
two
into
Robins.
That. I'd be into that. All right. Next up, we have The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. What can you tell us about that?
All right. We'll be quick with this one because maybe I'm only interested. But it's a big deal to me that the Coen brothers have inked a deal with Netflix to make a Western. So they're making a Western series. It's probably going to be a limited series, like, you know, 8 episodes, 8 hours. And they have some casting. Liam Neeson and Brendan Gleeson. So Liam Neeson, obviously super badass. Brendan Gleeson, kind of underrated. He was in like the Harry Potter movies, Mad-Eye Moody. Remember?
Yeah.
You got him? Yeah. Okay. In Bruges. He was awesome in that. He's been in a ton of stuff.
I like him.
Yeah. He's good, right?
He looks Western too.
Hell yeah. I think they're both British actors, but they can, you know.
He looks Western.
Yeah, man. I think it's going to be really good. And the casting, like, who wouldn't want to sign up to be in a Coen Brothers first TV they've ever done, right? Just watch out for this. I think it hasn't even started filming. So it's going to be like early 2019, but dude, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs is going to drop hot.
Here's what I would say about Westerns right now. I'm feeling a little bit like Westerns are, like, there's just too many of them going on right now. Every movie is a Western movie. Everything's going to that a little bit. And I don't know. They're kind of boring. I'm feeling like they've like flooded the market a little bit with Westerns and trying to go back to some of that. And everything's the best Western since The Unforgiven. I think I'm okay.
This is the new Tombstone. I get it.
Yeah.
Dude, I will agree with that. In fact, I was so excited when I heard that Coen Brothers were talking with Netflix about a series. And then when they said it was Western, I was like, no, like just something else, you know, yeah. Give me like 70s, some 70s industry show, something different, but it'll be great, man. I mean, True Grit was awesome. As far as Westerns go, that was a good one. So I'm cool with this one. I care about this one. Do you care about this one?
No.
Okay.
I'm not saying I won't. I'm not saying I won't.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it will come out. It'll be brilliant. I'll be super excited about it. But at this point, no.
We're split on this.
Yeah. Not thinking about it right now. All right. Last one. Fantastic Beasts. All five movies, there's five, right?
That's what they say.
All five movies will be in different cities. So the first one, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which was really pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Glad you
at least admit that, because I know you're a big backer of this whole thing.
Was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is going to be something about Dumbledore, right?
Yeah, Dumbledore will be in it.
Yeah.
We'll see a young Dumbledore. Again, and this one's going to be in Paris.
I love that. And
yeah,
honestly,
I like that too. And I'm relieved about that because I get like a little bit like Gangs of New York captured early New York for me. And I don't care about anybody else, any other vision of it.
I'm excited about it. Like, I mean, what better way to expand your universe than tell the story, include all these characters that we know and some of them that we've just heard about, introduce a few new ones that we never have, and kind of tell this backstory that we had never really heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then expand your universe by going all over the globe. So I'm really hoping it's not just European cities or in American cities.
I hope it's not too.
I would love it if we end up in Asia.
Like, let's
see
like a Shanghai.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. That would be really fun. And
I
exciting.
Think they will.
So I'm hoping that they move around and we, you know, get the universe expanded to a place where they can continue to make
just
Harry
like they
Potter.
Did with the Rush Hour movies. Just like that. Just as good.
Yeah. But it's like, I want them to do this. And it has me excited. And so, what's Johnny Depp's character's name? Grindelwald.
Yeah. I mean, the next movie is called The Crimes of Grindelwald. Yeah. So he'll be front and center.
It will be young Dumbledore versus Johnny Depp.
Thank you. And he is just Johnny Depp. I mean, it's Jude Law, right? Is young Dumbledore.
Oh,
you didn't know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
You haven't seen any of his pictures? He looks fantastic.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. He looks great. I mean, there's like a picture of him in his like cool office with
guys,
all his
that
like,
was,
magical artifacts.
That was genuine right there for me.
You got so excited.
I got excited. Jude
young
Law?
Young Pope himself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good.
He looks dapper. Let's just say that.
Well, that's because, okay, so for those of you who don't know, those of you who aren't huge Harry Potter fans, J.K. Rowling has come out and said that Dumbledore, in her mind at least, maybe not in the mind of the studios or even the publishing companies, mm-hmm. but in her mind, Dumbledore was gay.
He was a gay man.
I'm really hoping we get very gay Dumbledore.
I want super gay.
I want super gay Dumbledore.
I
do.
Want like an R rating for like some like mountain scenes, okay? I want like Brokeback shit.
I want gay Dumbledore. It's okay.
Speaking of Jake Gyllenhaal, he might have a role in this movie after all.
We should be excited about that. And it's like,
They should do that. They should. I mean, they can't show him as a young man without some of that, right? I mean,
they can't.
Obviously, like, if he was he never had any female love interest, but he was an old man when we saw him.
He was an old man.
He's like a young, vibrant, you know, powerful wizard.
Oh, real powerful. He's
going to be banging other powerful
and
wizard
we
men.
We have these stories of him, and like after his death, remember Harry was really confused by the stories he heard about, like the things he did with fighting other people and his family, and how, you know, maybe his past wasn't as great as, you know, Harry had imagined this whole time he knew him. So I'm really hoping we get a lot of that story in this movie. And I'm sorry, but his love life is part of that. Gay Dumbledore being awesome all over France is exactly what I'm looking for in this movie.
Ass.
And yeah, and just battling.
They picked a gay ass city too.
Yeah. And
I mean, that's a romantic gay city.
And battling against Johnny Depp all over the place, because I'm just going to think of him as Johnny Depp, like I said earlier in this episode.
Grindel, who he's Johnny Depp, which is a problem. It is a problem.
It's an issue. And yeah, I'm excited about it. So do
I think it's going to be good. But now I'm sort of like, wait, isn't this about Newt Scamander? Like, what is he going to just be sort of tagging along? Like, dude, when you got Albus Dumbledore, you're taking second, third, fourth fiddle.
This is honestly my opinion on this. So I think that they outsmarted all of us. I think there was too much money going into this for us to think that they would mess it up as badly as they did in the first. Now, the first movie wasn't a horrible piece of junk by any means.
It kind
of
was, though.
But it was boring. That was my biggest problem.
It was boring. And a movie like that, it could be a mess. It could be bad acting. All these different things, but it shouldn't be boring.
It was just boring. I don't think the acting was bad. I don't think the directing was bad. I don't even think the story was bad. I just think, like, it was kind of boring, and there was no point where I was ever really excited in the whole movie. So I left thinking, like, that was all right. But when I think back on it, nothing exciting happened. The story didn't really change much. They kind of just set it up for this. So we need to understand that these movie studios are pretty damn smart, and there's so much money on the line that they wouldn't mess it up by putting out five episodes of some boring story about a guy who wrote a textbook.
Yeah.
When they have so much backstory to teach us that we're desperate to hear.
Yeah.
And so I think the exciting thing is like, Newt is just going to be, I think, he's like
us. Like a biographer, right?
Yeah,
I
think
he's behind the scenes.
He's like us, though. He's like, he's curious and he wants to know about this stuff. And he's kind of like, he's this bystander for all of this history in the wizarding world. And so I think that's fun and exciting.
It can be a through line, and that's all he should be.
I think that's what he's going to be. And at first, I assumed it was going to be five episodes of his journeys.
Yeah.
And I kind of think...
Clearly not. They've leaned in hard by getting, like, Jude Law's Dumbledore.
I think that what they did is they were like, hey, what if we have a guy who is, like, an award winner, right? Eddie Redmayne. Mm-hmm. He won numerous awards already, right?
Yeah, I mean, best actor.
Yep, best actor. And they're like, what if we have him? And he's just like the steady in the story. And then we're going to go through like all of the pre-Harry Potter history and introduce all these other big actors and actresses on our way. And he's just going to kind of be like you as the viewer traveling through history in all these movies. And he's going to catch cute little animals that you've never heard of so we can sell them as toys. Yes.
Oh my God.
They're too smart.
Dude, you got it nailed. Now I'll watch that.
I think I nailed it. So yeah. Do we care? I care.
Yeah, I care.
I'm pumped.
I care. I'm more excited hearing that. It won't be more of the same, clearly.
And I'll really care if we have gay Dumbledore. Bring him on.
Yeah, man. You can't hide that.
All right. So the last thing of today, moving on from that, is our curtain call. In our curtain call, we're going to jump into the greatest action movies of all time. So we thought long and hard about how we were going to do this, and we went through multiple different lists and different websites and ways that we could do it, and we decided to go through a website called ranker.com. Now, I know it might not be scientific, it might not be experts from, you know, film rating this, but these are the people in the trenches, the people who care enough to log.
And this is action movies, okay? I mean, like, it shouldn't be pretentious. This should be the most popular, best movies.
So these are, like, the people who cared enough to log onto Ranker, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands in some cases, to upvote or downvote different movies. So the list is far from perfect, but it's, like, the best, you know, view of what the actual viewers and action fans.
We didn't want to do a repeat of the horror list where we like turned out that like people, wow, these people that did this list really like the 1930s Frankenstein movies, because there's like four of them in the top 10.
It was like every movie that was good in horror was done, sometime between World War I and World War II.
Exactly. So this should be a little bit more populist, which is good.
All right, so some of them are
you're gonna run through them. Say every name though, because last time you skipped ones that were legit.
I know I was not a horror movie expert, so I apologize. So some of them I won't even know. Some of them are bad. Some of them we'll go through quickly. But we're gonna quickly run through the top 50. We'll chat about the ones that need chatting about.
Yeah.
So number 50, a movie I've never heard about. It's called The Fugitive.
Fugitive?
Yeah, it's really popular. I don't know anything about it. It's from 1993.
Harrison Ford.
I was five. I
was a little bit older. And why did I see it? It was probably one of those movies that went on TV. Dude, The Fugitive is so legit. The One-Armed Man. You never heard that?
No.
It wasn't me. It was The One-Armed Man.
No, I don't know anything about that.
It's on your list. We're also compiling a list for you, Eric.
All right, number 49 is The Return of the Jedi.
A little weird the Star Wars are on there, but hell yeah.
Come on. That's, great, great movie.
It's a
good
action movie.
Number 48, a kind of a comedy, Beverly Hills Cop.
Very good.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy in his prime.
Number 47, this is not something I would put on an action list. The Incredibles.
Dude, hell of an action movie, and we're finally getting a sequel this year, one of my most anticipated of the year.
Honestly, didn't see The Incredibles.
It's the only movie, only one of the Pixar movies that really needed a sequel.
Number 46, one of the most overrated movies in the history of movies, Scarface.
It's a little overrated.
It's very overrated.
Brian De Palma at his prime, but dude, it's kind of boring. It's not really an action movie. Scarface, all right. I get why you say it's overrated.
It is overrated. It's like boring. It's like violent sometimes, but mostly it's just like a guy...
The fucking thing is 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, it's really brutal. It was like when I was in middle school, everyone had the poster on their wall.
Exactly.
Number 45, Die Hard 2.
I'll wait for Die Hard 1 to be on there.
Number 44, a movie I really enjoyed. I feel like you might complain about it. Skyfall. James Bond.
Great Bond movie.
The best Bond movies. Or the Daniel Craig Bond movies.
Oh, for sure. I agree with that.
Number 43, another incredible series, The Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah, I'm not huge into the Bournes, but you guys like them.
Number 42, Batman Begins.
Cool.
Great movie.
Love it.
Wonderful movie. Number 41, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Wow. So this is the worst of the Indiana Jones movies. Well, that's not true. Worst of the original three.
Yes.
But okay.
Number,
I'm guessing we're going to see the other two, I hope.
Number 40, Alien.
Man, so I don't know if I'd put this on there. I would more put this in the horror instead of action, or even sci-fi, I guess, but, dude, fantastic.
Here's one you definitely have heard of. I have no clue what this is. It's called The Fifth Element.
Fifth Element? You've never seen that?
No.
Oh, my God. Bruce Willis back in the day?
No, I don't know that
dude,
one.
Really good. Like, once again, a kind of a sci-fi movie. I guess this is a sci-fi action. Dude, Chris Tucker, hilarious in it. This is, like, prime. I can't believe you've never seen this movie. Holy shit.
Another one I've never heard of, but there's some big people in it. Gary Oldman, Natalie Portman. Number 38, Leon, The Professional.
It's a weird movie. It's good. It's slower.
Coming in at number 37, a Bruce Lee movie with Jackie Chan, Enter the Dragon.
I haven't really seen much of those. I'm sure they're fantastic.
Number 36, Lethal Weapon 2.
Classics. All of them. All four of them are perfect.
Absolutely. Number 35... Going old Bond here, Sean Connery, Goldfinger.
They're all pretty boring, man. All those old Bond movies, really old Bond movies.
The old Bond movies are...
They're so sexist.
They're kind of like watching Mad Men without the awareness of...
I hear what you're saying.
Like the awareness of
how bad these men are.
Yeah.
No, they were celebrating it instead of looking down on it.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Number 34, RoboCop.
Really good, man.
You think so?
Dude, I mean, this was an R-rated movie when they were doing a lot of PG-13 stuff at the time. It's a very violent, crazy-ass movie. Really good.
All right, 33, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah. Not my favorite stuff.
Really? Okay.
No, obviously, Tarantino's a genius. Those are my two least favorite movies from him.
All right. Number 32, Natalie Portman, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Heat.
One of the most boring movies. Is that another Brian De Palma? I don't know if it says who directed it on there.
Doesn't say who did.
Dude, that movie's so boring. I watched this 15-minute YouTube video of the best scene in the movie. It's this long, expensive-ass bank robbery scene. It was so boring, dude. I'm not a Heat guy.
All right, moving on to 31, Speed.
Great. Are you kidding, Keanu? You've seen that one?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, 30, Independence Day.
Oh, hell yeah.
Great movie.
Giant blockbuster.
Hey, how could you go wrong?
Crossover with our Will Smith episodes. Perfect. Yeah,
and how could you go wrong with Jeff Goldblum?
He's perfect.
He is fantastic. Next up is 1981's Mad Max 2.
Okay. Is this Beyond Thunderdome?
That's Mel Gibson. It just says The Road Warrior.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Number 28, Iron Man.
Hmm. Okay.
Decent action movie.
I wonder if we're going to see some more Marvel newer ones up top.
Number 27, True Lies.
Dude, you like this one?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
Never even heard of it.
Oh, my God. But Arnold?
Yeah, we're on a little Arnold streak here because number 26 is called Total Recall.
Love it. Have you ever seen that one?
Absolutely not.
Holy shit. Man, Total Recall, dude. That's like a sci-fi movie, but pretty much in action. It's fantastic.
Number 25 is Batman with Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah, great movie. Really, really good.
Michael Keaton, kind of an underrated Batman. Hey, you know what? All right, movie studio. All right, DC.
Yeah. You want to go old.
You want an old Batman? Michael Keaton, he's hot. Looking
right at the camera like he's hot. Speaking right to him.
He's hot right now, and he's in everything. And, you know, he was just in a Marvel movie. I don't know if he has, like, a no-compete clause in his contract, but I'd go out and get him over Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe at least bring him in for the Joker.
Bring Michael Keaton back as Batman.
I like it.
Michael Keaton, bring back.
Relies on the gadgets a little more heavily than he used to.
Yeah. Not Clooney, though.
We've tried that already.
All right, number 24, 300.
Dude, this was when Zack Snyder killed it. That movie was really good. I mean, it's not really as rewatchable as you think it might be, but it's
no, okay. It was great one time.
Yeah.
Next up, Dirty Harry.
Those are pretty good. You ever seen these?
Absolutely not. Literally, Clint Eastwood back you want to know day? What I just, guys.
That's a, like, it would be boring to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but if there's one thing I'm not going to do, it's going to be go back and watch a bunch of old Westerns.
That's not a Western. Dirty Harry was like, he was a cop. He had a giant revolver. He was a cop in L.A. or something, dude.
No clue. All right, this is funny to me. This isn't even a movie. It's a trilogy.
The Mummy?
The Lord of the Rings film trilogy.
As action movies? Get out of here. That's fantasy. Some of this shit's a little. They need to draw some more hard lines. All right,
number 21, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay.
Number 20, The Avengers.
I'm getting into it.
Number 19, Taken.
Really? No. Number 9, what, 19?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good movie. I think
it is good. Is it really rewatchable?
I think it's kind of like a cult classic, though, because everyone has watched it.
Everybody
liked it.
I mean, he's got some iconic lines. His phone conversation is the only thing that sticks out from the whole movie.
Yeah,
like,
but
special set of skills, and you're like, whoa.
He's like chained to a pipe, and he like escapes that whole scene. That was pretty intense. I mean, there's pretty good stuff in that movie.
It is.
Right. Number 18, Braveheart.
Man, what they're calling action movies is a little strange. Obviously, fantastic.
Number 17, Gladiator.
Hell yeah.
That has to be an action
Ridley
movie.
Scott. I mean, I guess, once again, sort of like a history biopic type of deal, but I'm cool with it.
Number 16, you're going to hate this one then. The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I don't know if I should include Star Wars in here. But
number 15, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, great.
That's fantastic.
Classic. We're getting there now. 14,
number 14
all right.
Is Star Wars, A New Hope. Okay. You hate that. 13, First Blood, Sylvester Stallone.
Interesting. Have you ever seen any of the Rambo movies?
Yeah, they're just unwatchable. Okay. I mean, he's so bad at acting. He can, like, hardly deliver his lines.
Well, he was paralyzed in the face at birth, so give him a goddamn break.
That's the truth.
That's why he's got his, like, blah, blah,
blah. That's not true.
That is true. They used the forceps on him like they used to do, and they pulled his head out of there and severed his nerves, and that's why he's got the thing. Yeah, it is true. I know that about him, okay? I've read Wikipedia.
No.
Eric.
That's not true.
That's true, man. That's why he's got the lip hanging down. And he's like, Adrian. Yes.
Oh, my.
Dude, so the first Blood movie. Okay, so the second, third, 15th Rambo movie is him with a giant gun. You know, a thing to like you picture Rambo.
Yeah.
You watch the first one.
Do you know how I picture Rambo? Irresponsible.
But not in the first one. He doesn't kill anybody. He doesn't kill a single person. And the Rambo body count is supposed to be legendary. I mean, he's killed like 1,000 people in the movie. He kills zero people in the first one.
I'm always like, he's dude, like Rambo,
a dude
down.
With like from the wars with PTSD, like up in like northern Washington, just trying to escape like pretty much like Mountie cops. It's such a weird movie.
Hmm. That's that one, First Blood?
Yeah, First Blood.
Okay. Number 12, Jurassic Park.
Love it. I guess it's an action movie, sure.
Number 11, I think this one's fantastic. I think you're going to argue with me on it, but The Bourne Identity.
They're all just the same thing to me. It's all so boring to me.
It's funny because I literally couldn't tell you the difference between any of those original three Bourne movies. But I just think that they caught lightning in a jar, right? Like, they figured out what people like in their action movies, and
they
changed
it to feel real, very real. Okay.
Yeah, instead of like the kick and punch noises and people flying off of balconies with karate chops and stuff. Yeah, I mean they were like, hey, what if this was just really raw and it just looked like a fist fight? And
I
so,
get that.
Do you remember the one where he's like running on the rooftops and then he's like
into the window?
Yeah, and then he's like in the like that. Apartment, and he has that fight with the person in the bathroom.
That's the only thing I remember from any of the movies, literally. That's
but I mean, like that scene, and that scene happens, you know, in every one of the movies where it's just like this brutal fight with an assassin where either guy could die and they have to kill each other pretty much by like strangulation or like stabbing someone with a pen or something. And it's just like it just seems so real. And it's like you watch all these movies then since then that have kind of copied that idea of what combat is supposed to look like. And so I just think it is so important. Important to this genre of movie, whether they've aged well or not, because they're like flip phone. Like we can,
they did rely a little too much on technology.
Yeah,
as like the basis. Because
they're like,
you know,
we can zoom into any person on Earth.
Yeah, it's a little silly. I get that. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just they're so samey to me.
All right,
top 10. Let's go.
Top 10. Number 10, a movie that I am not a huge fan of, and it's a great movie, and everyone's gonna think this is blasphemy. But it is a little bit disturbingly violent for my taste, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And that is Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I don't think I would call this an action movie for me. This is like a history, you know, war movie. That's its own genre.
Okay.
But yeah.
Number 9, Lethal Weapon.
Love it. All these movies. You've seen all the Lethal Weapons, right?
Yes.
They're so good. They're funny and intense, and the action's great. Love it.
Number 8, Aliens.
Okay, great. Then that is an action movie. Where Alien 1 is like a horror movie. Aliens is an action movie. Hell yeah, James Cameron.
Number 7, Predator.
Really good. Love it. Jesse the Body Ventura, baby.
Number 6, The Dark Knight.
Perfect.
Right where it should be?
Yeah, because to me, greatest comic book movie of all time, but not greatest action movie of all time. All
right, listen up, DC. I'm telling you, Christian Bale is the way to go.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
What's he cost? Whatever.
$50 million a movie. Do it. It will bring you guys back from the dead. Number 5, The Matrix.
Fantastic. One of the best, maybe the best sci-fi movie of all time for me, but it's a sci-fi action. I get why it belongs.
Good fighting scenes.
And I guarantee you're not going to get to number 3 or 4 and have like Matrix Reloaded. The only one that belongs on here is the first one. As a standalone movie, it's genius. Genius.
Number 4, The Terminator.
I'm into The Terminator. It's not as good as Terminator 2. And that's how I'll always remember The Terminator. And it's pretty dated.
All right, number 3, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Hell yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great, great movie. Number 2, Die Hard.
That's my number 1.
Die Hard would be number 1 for you? Yep. Why is that?
It's just a perfect action movie. To me, it defines action movie. And Bruce Willis is for me, the best action star. And it's just like a small, self-contained story. It's just like in a building. It's not like saving the world every time. It's gritty. It feels real. It's just one guy against all odds, except for Carl Weathers. He's helping out. But yeah, to me, I love Die Hard movie. It's really rewatchable to me. I've seen it a bunch of times.
Finally, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I mean, for me, that's probably 2.
Those are the top 2 for you?
Yeah,
so they kind of nailed the top 2 at least?
Yeah, they nailed a lot of it. I mean, I really can't think. I think you could put John Wick in there maybe because I get that it's a little newer, but talk about something that's taken over, like hand-to-hand with gun, you know, combat all in one. Dude, John Wick has a spot in the top 50.
It should have a spot in the top 50. And I think that all these movies will have to just bow down to the next big time movie in the action series. And that is definitely going to be Rampage.
Dude.
Which looks just horrible.
How does like Dwayne The Rock Johnson keep winning, even though he just seems to be making horrible decisions?
I think that everyone just like is like, we could go see that really good movie that all the critics love and think is amazing. Or we could just watch that movie of The Rock.
Do you want to see Lady Bird or Jumanji a second time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could see that movie where The Rock is just so jacked and funny.
See how ripped
and
he was
things
in that?
Are just blowing up. I'll choose that one.
I heard Kevin Hart's in that one. Let's go see that one.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I would say that my favorite would be any of the recent Bond movies or any of the Bourne series. And that's just because the same thing I was saying. I mean, just they seem realistic. I love the idea of like international organizations or governments spying, but then these people having to do like the dirty grunt work behind the scenes. And it's like these movies aren't even glamorous anymore. Like Bond isn't like this like sexy, cool, fun, rich guy.
It used to be amazing to be Bond. Now it sucks to be Bond.
Yeah, he's like, this job literally sucks. I hate this job. I'd retire if I could.
I hate killing people. Yeah. Actually, maybe that's the only thing I do like about it now.
And their bodies are like so beaten and like their life expectancy is not long. So yeah, I think those are my favorite of the action movies. I'm not as much of a traditionalist when it comes to things like
clearly
this.
Clearly, you haven't seen them, so.
I haven't seen a lot of the old movies, but also it's just like, we're so much better at writing and making movies at this point in time.
I agree with that.
Most movies like that you watch that are old at this point in time, even really good ones, even old movies that I like, are you watch them for sentimental reasons more than for the acting and the writing and the directing and the actual like cinematography of these movies. And so it's just like we're so damn good at making good movies now that even just like crap is better than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, honestly,
there really isn't total garbage anymore.
If you, in a vacuum where like there was no history or there was no like people weren't aware of like how people looked at movies in culture and in society. If you just held up Jumanji and this new Jumanji movie, I bet people would be like, well, the second one was a lot better. They were better at acting.
I mean, I haven't seen the first one or the second one, so I can't say for sure, but. Yeah, man, maybe. Maybe.
Like I said, in the old Star Wars movies, there's a lot of time spent with Darth Vader walking and not talking to anyone.
They don't do that anymore, do they?
No, they got rid of that. All right, guys, so that's all the time we have. Let us know what your favorite action movies are. Let us know what we missed, and let us know what your thoughts were on this episode. Thanks so much for hanging with us. Sorry our episodes came so late, but we did give you three things this week. So hopefully we had you hanging on for one of the coldest weeks of the year. We'll be back with you guys next week, and hopefully our guy Ryan will be back as well so that the audio and the music will be back. But until then, thanks for listening to the Nordies Podcast, and have a wonderful week.